The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary sent out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord.
So, my brothers and sisters, it's been just over a week now since we've all, I'm sure, heard the news, the terrible tragedy that took place in Newtown, Connecticut at Sandy Hook Elementary School, and the terrible, tragic loss of 20 young, beautiful, innocent children, as well as 7 adults, including the obviously disturbed, violent young man who committed this act, taking his own life. And it's been a week of a lot of tears, especially in the first few days. Hard to watch the news and the television without being so moved. Especially last Sunday, there was an ecumenical memorial service at the local high school there, and President Obama was there, and all the religious leaders spoke, and it was a very moving service, where the president himself just was sitting among the people, and being one with them. So we want to continue to hold up this community, and especially all the families who are just shattered at this time of year when there's supposed to be joy and sense of family, and many of them are going to be grieving for a long time, and this time of year might be forever more sad than joyful. And as I was reflecting on this terrible tragedy, which I'm sure we all do, what came to mind is that it's interesting, that even ironic, that only a few days from now, after Christmas, on December 28th, the church always celebrates the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Now, some of you might not be aware of it, because I know with the busyness of Christmas, not too many people come to Mass on December 28th. But it's actually a Feast of the Holy Innocents. Who are these innocents? These were the children that King Herod had, innocent children that he had killed, when he heard that the Christ child had been born in Bethlehem. And being power hungry and wanting to protect his own throne, he ordered the killing of all the children in Bethlehem, 2 years of age and younger. And this was a terrible slaughter of the innocents, these young infants. And it's interesting that, as looking up a little bit of the history, of course no one knows how many died, but some of the historians who were speculating, they said, well, based on the size of Bethlehem, they figured perhaps would have been a community of about 1,000 people. Based on demographics, the estimate was actually that perhaps approximately 20 children would have been killed by King Herod or his henchmen. Same number almost as died in at Newtown. And so again, we can see that even in our faith, in our church, at the very time of year when we celebrate the coming of the greatest gift that God has given us, and the joy of a newborn baby, which everybody can relate to, as such a wonderful experience. And yet within a few days, the church also reminds us of tragedy and sorrow and evil in the world that wants to snuff out the light, you could say. And it's precisely our faith as Christians that tells us that Jesus came into this world as a light to dispel darkness and to overcome the sin and evil that had held the human race captive. And the answer that we give as Christians, it's not really an answer because there's no real answer to evil. Evil is such a mystery. There's no simple answers, but there is a response, and the Christian response is that God is not separated or removed. It's not as if he doesn't care. He's just kind of observing from down high, down on high. But rather, he enters into the very suffering and pain and sorrow and evil of this world. And in fact, finally, in the sacrifice of Calvary, takes it upon himself. The sin of the world, the sorrow, the rejection, the betrayal, the violence. And if there ever was an innocent man, Jesus was innocent as man. Of course, these children were innocent because they were just children. But Jesus took upon himself the very sin and evil of the world in order to be a sacrifice that could redeem us and break the power, the curse of this in our world. And this is what our faith tells us, that God cares. God is compassionate. He has borne our sorrows. He has carried our griefs. He understands. He feels. He has been with us in the sorrows of life. He knows. And he cares, and not only cares, but through the sacrifice of the cross, which took him to the utmost effects of sin, which is death, he conquered because we believe he not only died, but he rose again. Jesus is risen. And in the resurrection, we believe that he has finally conquered and been victorious. That all the forces of sin and darkness in this world could not keep him down. He rose again from the dead, victorious. And that's our hope, is that no matter what we have to go through, no matter what pain, no matter what sorrow, no matter what grief, aching grief, think of the shattering grief of these families, that Jesus is our hope. He's the hope for the world. And that if we cling to him, there will come a time when we too will rise again, finally victorious over every form of darkness and evil in this world. And even now, Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father and reigns in glory, is not removed from us, but has sent us his Holy Spirit to be our comfort, our strength, our hope, our support in this life, so that we are never alone. We never have to believe or feel, we might feel alone, but our faith tells us we are never alone. God is with us no matter what we have to face in this life. And not only that, he has given us his church to be a community of love and support so that we can feel that we're not journeying through this life alone, but we journey with brothers and sisters. We are a family of faith, a community of faith. And notice in times of tragedy, that's so important that communities come together and have ways to support each other because the sorrow and the pain is too much to bear individually or even for individual families for that matter. So thank God he's given us one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's given us the church. And I just, again, watching the news all week, the role of the churches in Newtown was very prominent for gathering places and for the funerals, obviously, but the places of comfort and support for all these families and victims. So we are not alone. This brings us to today's gospel and the year of faith, which you've heard me mention several times, but I really believe we need to take hold of the grace that is being offered to us in this year, a grace to renew our faith, to be built up in our faith, And we see today in this story of Elizabeth and Mary at the visitation, Elizabeth singing the praises of Mary. But notice why she sings the praises of Mary. The very last verse says, "And blessed is she who believed that the promise made to her by the Lord would be fulfilled." And this is Mary's virtue par excellence, is her faith, her trust, her clinging to the Lord, even though she was asked to take on this incredible vocation, which was completely, I'm sure, something who could grasp it. Even now it remains a great mystery to be called upon as a young 14 or 15-year-old girl to be the mother of the Messiah, but not just the Messiah, but that the Messiah would end up being God Himself, come down to earth, and that you would conceive Him in your own womb through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Mary, again, without understanding, surrendered and said, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And she believed and put her faith in the Lord, and was faithful then when she heard too from the angel that Elizabeth, her cousin, was pregnant, and set off in haste to visit her. So Mary is the woman of faith, and she can teach us what it means to really have faith in God. And why did the Holy Father designate this year of faith? Well, one of the reasons, particularly, that he has mentioned is because faith is in crisis in our world today. Christian faith in many parts of the world, especially Western Europe and North America, is in decline. Massive decline. A massive falling away of the practice of faith. That should not be news to us. I doubt that there's any family here that does not have extended family members, uncles and aunts, cousins, who have ceased to practice their faith, although they were born and raised Catholic. In fact, some of you, your entire family, except yourselves, no longer practices. Many of you, perhaps. Very common today. The statistics are not encouraging. The province of Quebec, that was at one time 90% Catholic and a percentage of 80% practicing, now they might be lucky to have 10% on Mass on a given Sunday, probably less, and even with the younger generation. In the rest of Canada, maybe it's as high as 15 or 20%, not higher. So this is the reason the Holy Father is calling us to. He's trying to stop the hemorrhage and to bring about a renewal of faith in our day and age. The faith that is so vital to the health of a society and to the salvation of the world. And we see in our culture not only this growing religious indifferentism, people just don't seem to care, they're caught up in their world, they're not necessarily bad people or evil people, but they do not know the Lord. And they do not feel at all the need to believe and to practice their faith. But we see not only the religious indifferentism, but even in the last 10 years or so, now, and this is going to increase, a growing hostility to Christians in terms of what we stand for, what we believe. And this, brothers and sisters, barring some divine intervention or crisis, is only going to increase in our day. Three fundamental areas of moral values that we hold as Christians that have been rejected by our culture, and they're telling us they're sick and tired of hearing us promote them, or they feel now that we have less and less of a right because by promoting these values we are taking away the rights of others. What are they? First of all, the value of the sanctity of all human life from the moment of conception, which means the rejection of all abortion. Our society does not believe that. The vast majority believe that abortion should be and is morally acceptable, at least in many cases. Secondly, the dignity of marriage has been undermined already We've seen the statistics of marriage breakdown and increasing divorce. But now, in the last 5 or 10 years, we've seen the growing undermining of the dignity of marriage as a bond, a lifelong bond between a man and a woman, undermined through same-sex marriage. It's been legalized here and now in the United States. Sad to say, state after state is falling and is legalizing same-sex marriage. You walk into any school here in Ottawa, high school, including Catholic high schools, you take a poll, the vast majority of the kids would say they support same-sex marriage because that seems to be the compassionate thing to do, right? Everyone has a right to love whom they choose to love. That's the line given. And of course, we do not, as Catholics, believe in discrimination against those who struggle with same-sex attraction, but we also strongly uphold the dignity of marriage as a lifelong bond that God established in the beginning between a man and a woman. There can be no marriage with between those who are not, you know, of the opposite sex. And so again, this is a tragic kind of situation we're facing in our culture today. And thirdly, the very holiness and dignity of human sexuality and sexual relations has been completely, the Christian point of view has been completely rejected. The Christian point of view is that human sexual relations are holy, they are designed by God and meant to strengthen the marriage bond and for procreation of children. That's rejected now by our society, which believes that anyone and everyone between consenting adults should be able to have sex whenever they want to, and even if only for pleasure or self-indulgence. Sex with others, sex by themselves, pornography, whatever. It's being more and more promoted and tolerated and just taken for granted. In fact, some young adults today have never even heard that it's wrong for couple dating to have sex before marriage. Never even heard that such a thing could be wrong. This is the state we're living in our culture today. But that being said, these core fundamental moral teachings that we hold as Christians is actually not still the essence of faith. They are important elements of our faith. But coming back to the point, what is faith? Faith for Christians is fundamentally about a person, the person of Jesus Christ, recognized and accepted as God, as Lord, as Savior. And this, again, even among many practicing Christians, is sometimes not fully appreciated. Faith, therefore, understood in this way, requires a personal, conscious, sincere decision to accept Jesus into our hearts. And many of us have never really heard that or responded in that way. And this is unfortunate today in our society. And many people don't understand, again, what it means to say, I believe and accept Jesus as Lord and as Savior. What does that mean, Lord and Savior? Many people don't realize that they need saving. Do we feel on a daily basis that there but for the grace of God go I? That without the saving grace of Jesus, my life is in desperate circumstances, desperate need. Do we feel the need for a Savior? I recently been reading a new book by, or the first book by, Andre Renier, the founder of Catholic Christian Outreach. Many of you have heard of this, the headquarters right here in Ottawa. This is a wonderful campus ministry for young adults reaching out to Catholics, founded by Andre and his wife, Angèle. whom I know personally, and he wrote a book, again, which is a real challenge to the Catholic Church to understand what the primary task is, that we understand that the Church exists in order to proclaim the good news. It exists to evangelize. That if we really believe, we will want to share this gospel message and bring others to Christ. And so he's very passionate. But as he's explaining again from his own experience how many Catholics who come to church and who respect Jesus but still don't fully appreciate what it means that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And he gives a beautiful analogy which I'd like to read here. And here's what he says. He says, "When I go to the beach, I recognize and respect the importance of having a lifeguard on duty. The lifeguard is there to help those in need. But I'm a competent swimmer, and so I don't need the lifeguard. Once a week, when I go to the beach, I wave and acknowledge the lifeguard, and then go out for a swim in the deep waters. One day, however, as I am swimming, I unexpectedly swallow a mouthful of water and begin to choke. Gasping for air, I swallow more water. I begin to panic as I start to sink. I go down once, twice. At this point, I know that if I go down a third time, I will die. My attitude towards the lifeguard has changed drastically. I realize now that if he does not get off his chair and come and rescue me, my life is over. I have moved from a simple respect to desperate need for the lifeguard. Our view of Jesus may parallel our initial relationship with the lifeguard. We might respect Jesus, but not really think we need him. If we really understood our sin, weaknesses, and failures, however, and recognized that the result of these is separation and death, we would know our desperate need for a Savior. Grave sinners and incompetent swimmers are not the only ones who need saving. We all need to be rescued." In a few days, we will celebrate Christmas, the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the light who has come into the world to scatter the darkness and to save and deliver each one of us. Do we recognize this great gift of salvation? Do we recognize our need for a Savior? Do we know that apart from Jesus, our lives are hopeless and that we are drowning? St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Corinthians that there are three things that abide in life: faith, hope, and love. And yes, the greatest of these is love. And we will be judged one day by love. But let us not forget, Scripture also says, apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. Apart from faith, it is not possible to love, because God is love. And we can love only because he has first loved us, and we allow that love to transform our hearts from within. That's very important we grasp that. And so if the end of faith is love, and the walk of faith is hope, what is the beginning of faith? How do we really get faith? Well, as I mentioned, it begins with a conscious, intentional, sincere, and personal conviction and decision to open our hearts to Jesus, to say yes to him, to commit our lives to him as Savior and Lord, and to follow him all the days of our life, no matter what the cost. That's what faith comes down to. problem for us as Catholics is that most of us received the gift of faith at baptism, but we were baptized as infants. And yes, baptism is meant to be that point of decision where we decide. When we're baptized as infants, and legitimately so, the church says, that decision can be made for us by our parents. And that's what they did. They asked for this grace. They professed faith on our behalf with the hope that we would one day own that faith ourselves and decide for ourselves. The question is, have we? Have we decided for ourselves that we need a Savior, that we believe Jesus is the Savior and the Lord, and we've opened our hearts to Him and we've committed our lives to Him? That's the most important decision we will ever make. And it's a decision, in fact, we need to renew day in and day out, maybe several times during the day, depending on what we're struggling with. So, brothers and sisters, in this year of faith, I believe this is what the Lord wants to convict us of and renew us in, is our faith individually, first and foremost, but also as families and as a community and as a parish, to strengthen our faith, and not just for our sake, but for the sake of the salvation of the world. Faith is the light of Christ shining in the world. And if that light now is being eclipsed by this great loss of faith, how is it going to be renewed? Only if men and women respond to the good news, respond to the call, hear that call, and say yes, and choose and decide to follow Jesus. So today, I'd like to give us all that opportunity again to do that. And for those of you, perhaps, maybe you've never done it consciously or aware of it, you've gone, because of course we renew our baptismal promises every Easter. But I'd like to do it today, but asking each one of us to do it with sincerity. And if we don't feel we're ready to do it, well, to remain silent then, I guess. And if it's the first time that you're consciously ever doing this, to realize this is the beginning of opening your heart to the Lord that allows the Holy Spirit to begin to change us from within. Without that grace, we cannot live a fullness of life. We cannot follow the Lord. And so we need to decide. So I'll invite us now all together to renew our faith by renewing our baptismal promises. So I invite you to please stand. This will take the place of our creed today. And let's just take a moment of silence, first of all, to really prepare our hearts, to really examine ourselves, perhaps to remember the analogy of the lifeguard. Do we see ourselves drowning without Jesus? Do we want Jesus to save us? Do we know we need Him? Let's take a moment to just be in touch with that so that when we respond to these questions, they will truly come from our hearts. So I ask you, do you renounce sin so as to live in the freedom of God's children? Do you reject the lure of evil and refuse to be mastered by sin? Do you reject Satan, father of sin and prince of darkness? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And will you follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior all the days of your life? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this year of faith, we beseech you to ignite the gift of faith that we have received in our baptism in each of our lives. We ask you to renew and strengthen our faith individually and as households and families and as a parish community. Let the light of faith shine in our hearts and lives and make each of us witnesses eager to share the gift of our faith with others so that the whole world would come to believe and trust in the salvation which your Son has won for us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.